Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody.
Today, we're talking about how to prevent different things that may be happening to your feet, how to keep your feet healthy. Welcome, Dr. Ream. How are you today?
Hey, Don. Pretty good. Today's topic is how to stay away from the foot doctor. You know,
I have
people coming in all the time for problems that they knew what to know. They don't need to go to the doctor. And if they would go to the doctor would give them the same advice if they knew these things. That is not to say that sometimes it's not in your best interest to go to the doctor, but the key is knowing when and under what circumstances. Well, you know, I would say that if you have trauma, like the other day, you hurt your foot before the last show. And by the way, how's that doing?
It's actually doing pretty good. And I notice a little bit more pain when I do not walk with just walking on like the tile floor barefooted. So I do make sure that I wear my my inserts, and that helps. It helps cushion the foot. It feels a lot better. So
okay, well that's good.
How we're doing so
I would say that if you have trauma, infection, severe pain, weakness, numbness, burning. Go to the doctor. And to just take aside, what do you consider when you go to the doctor? Well, it's very simple, Don. You go to the best, go to a specialist, and go to the one board certified. And I'm recommending the American Board of Multiple Specialties in Podiatry. You know, I want to just mention a little bit about the importance of going to a specialist. Sometimes a generalist doesn't know, but he doesn't know. And therefore, he thinks he knows. You have to be aware of the whole scope of things. You have to be aware of the horse. When you hear hoofbeats, you heard the saying, when you hear hoofbeats, you just don't think of horses. You think of the zebras. A specialist has enough experience, he's internalized enough information that he knows the zebras as well as the horses. So, go to a specialist. I can't say that enough. But most of the time, people are coming to my office with things they really don't need a doctor for, just education. And you know what? It's not bad that a physician is there to educate, because physician in Latin means what, Don? It means teacher. And physicians, in my opinion, physicians are obligated to educate and motivate their patients, and not just lecture to them. You know, the interaction, the discussion, the interaction with the family, this is all education. What do you think? How does this apply to you? And really allow the patient to incorporate and internalize what you're saying into their life and be able to translate to regular language. You know, we know all this scientific terms and all this stuff, and in your specialty, you have scientific terms and the ability to communicate with your patient. The ability to bring the scientific language down to the patient's understanding, and really be able to communicate what you have in your head to what they have in their head, really communicate. This is a skill. And I'm afraid to say, I think the art of communication is being lost these days?
That's how I would put it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so anyway, physicians are really obligated to educate and motivate their patients. And there are four aspects to knowing about health stuff. And in this case, we're talking about foot stuff. And the four cases, the four elements, four aspects to knowing is prevention, treatment, maintenance, and prevention again. And we're treating and preventing whatever stage of illness or pathology or problem that you have. For instance, if God forbid you have a toe amputated, you want to prevent the disease from progressing. So it's not prevention. It's not necessarily always primary prevention. Sometimes it's called secondary prevention. And sometimes it's preventing a problem from getting worse and not necessarily totally healing a problem. For instance, some people have arthritis. By the way, Don, we're going to do a show on arthritis coming up, arthritis of the feet, because it's really a very common element that people are not aware of. And again, you know, we want to help people. One of our bylines to the show, as you know, is we want to help people help themselves before they go to the doctor. And what are some of the things that people come into the office with that we want them to know about? And so to offer a little bit of education and prevention, bunions, hammer toes, plantar warts, ingrown nails, fungus nails, athlete's feet, neuromas, neuropathy, venous insufficiency, leg cramps. And then when you go to the doctor, ask yourself, am I going to the doctor for cosmetic concerns? Oh, yes, there's cosmetic doctors and plastic surgeons and cosmetic surgeons. But is this something we want to spend our medical dollars on? We have to know what we're going to the doctor for. We have to frame our problem. We have to identify the problem. So, you know, how to go to the doctor. And really the topic is how to know enough to avoid going to the doctor. How do we stay away from the doctor? Again, we want to help you help yourself before going to the doctor. Now, do you have any? Do you understand my concept here, Don?
Well, absolutely, and see, that's what I think is great about this program in and of itself is simply that you are doing a lot of educating of attention to prevention, the reasons why they could go, how to stay away from the doctor, which I think is a great service in and of itself. Besides, helping, being able to help people understand what it is that their doctor is going to be talking to them about. I think that's a great, great service.
Exactly.
And that's what makes you.
So let's go through. Let's go through some of these common things that people come to the doctor with that I think that people should be educated enough, both in prevention and in treatment, to stay away from the doctor. Bunion deformity. A bunion deformity is a bump on the groin inside of the foot. Inside and outside is not in the medical textbook, so we have to be very careful. Some people point to the inside of their foot and call it the outside, and some people point to the outside and call it the inside. But I'm talking about you take your foot, you put it on the ground, and it's the groin side of the foot. We have a little bump there. And sometimes the foot's a little twisted because of the way we walk. And so they come to me mostly with cosmetic concerns. I don't like the way the bunion looks. Well, there's surgery available. Are you going to risk surgery for cosmetic concerns. I'm not on any side of the fence. Maybe this is important to you enough to risk the surgical complications. What are the surgical complications? Infection, ability, perhaps it won't heal right. Allergies to the medicines, to the sutures. The reoccurrence of the problem. Infection, bone infection. And so we really have to take in consideration whether we want to do surgery for a concern. Now, if people knew that bunions were caused by an excess motion of the foot being off balance, and the shoe is rubbing on the inside, the groin side of the foot, let's call it the medial, let's be correct. The bunion is rubbing on the medial side of the foot as the foot hits the ground, too flat-footed, let's say, and bending that toe over. If we knew preventing it would be shoes and custom-made orthotics, you could try non-custom medical-grade orthotics first, but prescription orthotics are really the definitive treatment for the pronation that takes place that causes the bunions, and wide enough shoes. So we have to know about shoes, and we have to have access to buying the shoes. And no, your medical insurance shouldn't cover all kinds of shoes. I get that. People expect that shoes should be covered by their medical insurance. Are toothbrushes covered by your dental insurance? No. And I want people to accept the responsibility for all the resources they need to have to maintain their good health. So bunions, again, a wide enough shoe, orthotics to prevent the advancement of the problem, and orthotics and proper shoes to help prevent the problem. So, okay. Any thoughts or comments on bunions, Don?
I think you pointed out that the attention to prevention, you know, if you don't have the problem yet, they're wearing a narrow shoe or something like that, they really need to think about it. They need to think about the orthotics and what, you know, how their foot is actually hitting the ground. And people don't think about it.
Absolutely. Now, you're talking about hitting the ground. As the foot hits the ground in a way that's off balance, and it tries to balance itself again medially toward the groin side of the foot. The foot is off balance, and it needs to, and sometimes the foot needs to grab with the toes. Now, if these toes are constantly grabbing the toes, the tendons, the joints, say, hey, I'm going to stay like this, and they get into a position of hammer toes, or if the end of the toes are curled, the mallet toes. And so, again, prevention is proper shoes and custom-made orthotics. Now, this sounds cliche. It sounds trite. It sounds like it's an answer for everything. It's an answer for a lot of things. But let me pose an idea to you. Let me pose an idea that Mother Nature, when she made the foot, did not know that man was going to make all the ground flat. When Mother Nature intended the foot to be walking on surfaces such as grass and sand and dirt and soil, this is nature's ground. We made the ground cement and tile and wood and flat. And when Mother Nature made the foot, she didn't know that man was going to make all the ground flat. And so this irregularity, abnormality in walking because Mother Nature didn't intend it that way, imposes the conditions of bunions and hammer toes and so forth. Is that concept fairly clear to you, Don?
Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay.
I have a question about
yeah, hammer toes. Sure.
So one of the things that, you know, both my father-in-law as well as my mother have hammer toes. And I know that my, you know, father-in-law, he's gone, but my mom, one of her, let's see, it would be the right foot, her second toe, right to the big, you know, the big toe. It used to come up, and I can see where, you know, you say it was grabbing all the time. So it basically, the tendon shortened up to where it was, you know, just raising that toe in a mountain type of position or a V and up. But anyway, so one of the doctors told her that she needed to cut the tendon so that it would lay flat. And that's exactly what they did. But basically what happened is that tendon then inverted the toe on top of the other, her big toe, so that next toe. And we have to tape that toe to the side without making it too tight. And I mean, it was just, it's a mess. It just, you know, I mean, the toe itself is a nuisance now.
So you're doing this at home? You're actually taking and supporting this toe with tape, or how are you doing this?
It's an elastic stick to itself tape that we actually wrap around the one toe and then tape it to the big toe so that it doesn't go up over it and it stays right next to it. And
well,
that's
problem,
what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, well, the problem with putting pressure on toes to avoid it moving, the toe wants to move in a certain way, and you're putting pressure on it by the tape. You get irritation by the strapping or support that you're using. And this is a word of caution. This is something that people should know before they go to the doctor. Know about the body. Know about the body seeks balance. The front of the body balances the back of the body. In, you know, people get, runners know this. They have to balance the core so the back of the body doesn't get out of balance. The front of the body balances the back of the body. The front of the legs have to match the back of the legs. And the tendons adjust. If your tendons are tight on the top of the foot, they're going to have to accommodate on the bottom of the foot. And so somebody who cuts a tendon, and sometimes it's necessary. I'm not saying that it's not, but, you know, in cases that you're in severe pain, you have ulcers, movement and biomechanics takes a secondary role. But in cases where it's an elective situation where there's no pain or infection or ulceration, know that when you cut a tendon, you're going to lose some function that's going to be picked up by something else. And this may cause just what you're talking about, an abnormality in gait. And so this is unfortunate that you have to do this. And sometimes, and I'm not recommending extra surgery, but there may be surgical procedures to avail that. But does that answer your question?
Sure, it does. And like I say, I don't think that the doctor took the time to explain, you know, if this happens, this other thing may happen, like you're doing right now. He just says, well, we'll cut the tendon so it'll lay flat. Well, it didn't lay flat. And it's created an opposite effect, and now it has to be dealt with on a daily basis.
Well, I want people to be aware of this, and so
again, back to the point, people have to know what to know when they go to the doctor. And even if you know before you go to the doctor, so you don't have to go to the doctor. Can I stress, have to go to the doctor, you have to go to the doctor for an interesting something non-elective. Plantar fetish is caused by the same movement as well as heel pain. Also caused by imbalance, improper shoes, improper surfaces, walking on high heels and so forth. Warts are an interesting. Warts are caused a lot of times. People who come in and warts under extreme stress, and they're getting a virus like you cold. And if you notice, you can actually forecast what get a wart when during finals times. I get a lot of children and high schoolers and college kids come in with warts. This is a stress reaction. And then there are many, many home remedies to treat the warts. You don't want to let them spread. Again, there's a fine line. There's a fine line between knowing when to go to the doctor and when not. There's home remedies that we could talk about at a whole session we could have on home remedies for warts. And one of them, let me just tell you, one of them, soaking in 110-degree water for 30 minutes a day. After about a month, we'll get rid of it. And you could look this up right now. And it was taught to me by a guy to be on the radio, Dr. Dean Adell, used to talk about this on his radio show. I don't remember Dean Adell. Real quickly, ingrown nails. We've been taught to cut nails crossed, but in most cases, if you cut it straight across, the ends of the nails get at the tip and irritates the tip of the skin, causing a callus, and then causing a little hole where debris from socks and shoes and the skin debris, skin sheds, collects in that area. And I go on record as saying you have to rub it off a little bit and keep these areas clean. Because ingrown nails, think about this, Don, nails don't hurt. It's the reaction of the nail on the skin. So it's up to protect and that's clean. As a matter of fact, DrRemedies.com starts this idea with the Balm Rouge cleansing ready pads that you clean this area, and the Balm Rouge helps the Balm Rouge foot cream. The active formula keeps the soft and conditioned and helps regulate and deal with some of these calluses. And so that's the thing with fungus nails. We've talked fungus nails, and people ask me, it's my favorite question. People ask me, hey, Doc, why do my nails get fungus? And my favorite answer is, well, do you brush your teeth? And they laugh at me. Of course I brush my teeth. And I say, do you brush your toenails? And they say no. Well, if we left our teeth, like we leave our toenails, they would accumulate in the same way because the toenails are part of the skin. They have their own environment, that is the mouth, and the toenails are part of the skin, and they have their own environment that builds up debris, and that is the shoe and the sock and the dark, moist surfaces. So again, fungus nails can be treated, and there's a lot of other information out there. We support the fungus nail dealing with fungus nails on our website, and we support that. Now athlete's foot are an extension of this fungus nails, and it's an extension of having fungus on your skin. There's nutritional ideas that people have toward preventing the fungus on your skin, period. There's a lot of nutritional ideas. And then there's the cleansing ideas and over-the-counter things. Okay, so athlete's foot, neuromas are a pinched nerve in between. This can be controlled by controlling your walking and your gait, both as a preventative and as a treatment. And neuropathy, of course, is due to blood sugar problems and it very, very consistent with high blood sugar. Venous insufficiency, support hose.
All right? And maintain a preventive attitude there as well. Leg cramps, you know, people who work out and have leg cramps respond to 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda every night, and that will help your leg cramps. I'm not saying it cures it. I can't do that, but try it if it's okay with your doctor. Anyway, we've gone through a lot of stuff. But my point is that I want to help people stay away from the doctor if they don't have to. Is that a valid concern? Am I off base?
No, heck no. That's very good. In fact, the thing of it is I think not just avoiding the foot doctor, but any doctor by understanding what it is that's going on and then, you know, doing what you have to do, the prevention to that you don't have to just simply run to the doctor at every sign of problems. And so, I mean, it would definitely lighten loads of the doctors that seem to be overloaded at the time.
That's right. Well, that's what we're all about, Don. That's what we're all about here. That's what we're all about. And if people have any questions or concerns or problems, remember drreemremedies.com. We support foot health. And we want people to help themselves before they go to the doctor. We want to help people help themselves before they go to the doctor.
Absolutely. Okay, just one last clarification. The leg cramps. I like what you're talking about. Sometimes I get those. It's 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda mixed with water. Is that correct?
Yeah, mixed with 8 ounces of water.
8 ounces of water. And just drink that every evening.
Drink that every evening. That's a home remedy. But you know what? I have to clarify, just to talk with your doctor first in case they can't have salt or, you know, whatever. I always have to be cautious being on the radio.
Exactly. Okay. Well, very good. Any last tips in the last 30? You got a minute. You got 1 minute here.
Well, you know what? If it is, I have to say it, if it is to be, it is up to me. Make it happen, guys. Be healthy, really. Keep
Absolutely.
Your feet healthy. Keep your feet healthy.
Okay. And remember, like Dr. Ream has said, he says it is very important to brush your teeth. So it's that preventative exercise, the things that you do to prevent the problems, not only nutrition-wise, but physically, brushing your feet on a daily basis, same as you would your teeth, and keeping, you know, using orthotics, preventative medicine, watching the shoes that you've got, everything that's going on. So we appreciate being with us, and thank you, Dr. Ream, for this invaluable information, and hopefully people can use it to avoid the foot doctor. Remember to go to Dr. Ream Remedies, DrReHM Remedies.com, and there's good information as well as some great products, which I use on a daily basis. So thank you. Thank you, Dr. Ream.
You know, just one more thing. I want you to pamper yourself. I want you to pamper your feet. And may you continue to walk through your life with ease.
Thank you. Absolutely. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you.
Appreciate you, Don.
We'll talk to you next week. All right. Thank you. Online Foot Expert is a production of Q Forward Productions, copyright 2019, Dr. Ream, all rights reserved.